I've always been big on legacy and having real estate being the cornerstone of wealth.
The legacy.
Typically in traditional real estate, if you wanted to sell, you're talking, you know, 6 to 9 months on the market, doing viewings, you know, to actually sell that property. Whereas with a platform like Oasis, you can sell within minutes.
The legacy.
So just think of it as a marketplace like Zillow, and if you're in the UK, like Zoopla, where you can see properties listed from all over the world, and with a few clicks, you can actually invest and own those properties. Instead of having to pay, let's say, $200,000 or $300,000 for a down payment, you can invest $20,000 or $30,000 and own a percentage of that property.
The legacy.
So we just want to make it really easy for anyone to access, for anyone to be able to invest, buy, sell, build, generate passive income, all the benefits that you can get from real estate without the downsides. As a developer, it will be faster. You can raise money faster than in any traditional way.
My guest today is Ricardo Johnson, a founder with a background as diverse as his vision. He built businesses in fashion and coffee, but it was real estate that ultimately captured his focus. And not just any real estate, Ricardo is building something super ambitious, a tokenized real estate platform called Oasis that aims to make global property investing as seamless as buying stocks online. But this isn't just about the crypto hype, it's about helping developers raise capital faster, attract broader base of investors, and bring liquidity to a notoriously slow-moving asset class. In this conversation, we dive into how tokenization works, what it means for capital stacks, and why developers who embrace this shift early could have a serious edge in the years ahead. Check it out. So, Ricardo, tell me, how did it all start? What got you interested in real estate finance?
I've always been big on legacy and having real estate being the cornerstone of wealth on a global scale. I always understood that would eventually become my end game. Prior to that, I ran a men's clothing brand. I had a coffee business. I've done printing businesses, all sorts of businesses. But I always knew I would put my money into real estate. I was around 26. My dad's always been in real estate development, in commercial real estate. But for me, I didn't really know where I could start. Like, I didn't know how to get started. This was around the time where Airbnb was really taking off. A friend of mine pulled me aside and said, hey, I know a lot of people that are doing this now. It seems pretty easy. Let's try it. And that's how I really got started in real estate. It was in management. Prior to that, I did a bit of work doing inventory reports, but it was really when I started my property management business is where I really got into it. The idea was always, you know, let's start off with whatever I can to get my feet wet. My end goal was to eventually get into development where I can actually build from the ground up. I haven't got to that place yet, but that's the
quest.
Well,
you're in the right place because that's exactly what we do here. So help me understand, in 26, when you exited your first business, is that what you said? That's super impressive.
Yeah.
What did those early experiences teach you about the structural barriers in real estate that you're now dismantling with Oasis?
So early on, when I was getting into real estate management, I had a lot of clients who were looking to expand, was managing their properties doing really well. They're looking for more opportunities. That's when I was really exposed to the limitations, how long it really took to make an investment in the space, what it really cost to renovate a property, to buy the property, all the legalities around it. At that time, it wasn't a huge issue because it wasn't me directly facing it. But I was really exposed to, oh, okay, like it's not as straightforward, you know, as it would seem. I think growing up in the UK, we're pretty much sold alongside like going to universities, like, you know, the key to, you know, unlocking wealth. But real estate, owning your own property, owning investment properties is like the only way you can really make it in life. And it's only really at that time when I was like, okay, like my perception changed. From one side, it was the great equalizer where anyone could do it. And then it's really down to the people who's really got the grit to navigate all these pit holes, to, you know, find these deals, to negotiate, you know, great terms, to, you know, find great managers who can really manage the property. Because there were so many people who also make mistakes, and you make a few mistakes in real estate, you know, it's going to cost you a lot. So it really exposed me to the true problems that are there.
Yeah, that's amazing. In real estate, it's still very much cool and almost archaic. A lot of things are done from early conceptual planning to construction to the sale or lease up. There is a place for technology, but it's not utilized on a broader scale. So when you started Oasis, what was your thinking? What was the goal of that venture?
So my main goal was to make it accessible to everybody. Anyone from anywhere in the world can have access to this. Whereas back in my parents' days, when they were able to buy a property, it was so much cheaper. The barriers were a lot less, you know, that at one stage you can get mortgages without any down payment. It was, you know, everything's changed now because of that. You got to think 20, 30 years ago, in comparison to your salary, it may have only been, you know, 4 or 5 times your salary, whereas today is nearly 10 times your salary for, you know, to actually secure that property, which makes it really inaccessible for generations to come now. This problem is not going to get any better. It's only going to become worse. That wealth gap is only going to become bigger. So it's how can we really solve that problem for that future? Another way I looked at it as well was that in previous generations, real estate was their gateway. It was accessible, the banks favored it, and it was straightforward for them to own their home and other homes. The generation after that stuck to stocks. People were able to access good stocks for good prices and was able to hold those over 20, 30 years, and now they're able to reap those benefits. For generations of today, it's really in crypto. So this is where people who are able to get into Bitcoin early, into Ethereum early, Solana, etc. 5, 10 years of holding those type of tokens, now they're able to reap those benefits. So it's now being able to match that really legacy system of real estate, but with the liquidity of crypto, where the game changes. The regulatory climate is shifting towards the tokenization of real world assets, where the actual ecosystem of crypto has evolved into real world utility. How can it really benefit everyday people off chain? I feel like now is the perfect time for this type of solution.
Super interesting. But let's start from Oasis. So what is it?
Oasis is a tokenization platform. So just think of it as a marketplace like Zillow. And if you're in the UK, like Zoopla, where you can see properties listed from all over the world. And with a few clicks, you can actually invest and own those properties. You can now build a real estate portfolio.
I generally understand how exchanges work and how one could buy and sell basic cryptocurrency. If I want to invest in a real estate token, do I go to Oasis? Or is Oasis basically a search platform for me? But then the transactions still happen on a direct buyer to seller level.
So how it operates at the moment is just think of it as a marketplace where you can invest in real estate deals. We then pre-vet the deals, connect with all the developers, look through all these brochures, go through all these financial models and find really the best deals that we can actually tokenize. We then bring them onto the platform. So let's say that villa is $1 million, for example. Instead of having to pay, let's say $200,000 or $300,000 for a down payment, you can invest $20,000 or $30,000 and own a percentage of that property. We then pool all the money together for that $1 million acquisition, and we actually buy that property. We create a company, an SPV, to own that property, and you own the shares within that company. So you get voting rights. So let's say, well, maybe it's time we should sell this property. It, you know, it's gone up in value over the last 5 years. Let's vote to sell. Depending on how many tokens you own, each token has a vote, and you can vote to sell this property. Or it's not performing as well as we hoped. Let's change the management team managing that property. Each token contains a governance vote. We provide a way that you can easily invest and sell. You can list your tokens for sale and someone else within the platform can buy them. Typically in traditional real estate, if you wanted to sell, you're talking, you know, 6 to 9 months on the market, doing view-ins, you know, to actually sell that property. Whereas with a platform like Oasis, you can sell within minutes. So we just want to make it really easy for anyone to access, for anyone to be able to invest, buy, sell, build, generate passive income, all the benefits that you can get from real estate without the downsides.
Interesting. So your talking points are very similar to a traditional syndication that's done on paper. Help me understand.
Exactly.
Before, I still want you to explain what tokenization of real estate means, because my mind is racing. You are actually the sponsor of all the deals that you are listing. Is that my understanding? Or are you a listing platform?
Think of it this way. Like the example you gave with the syndicates is a perfect example. So with a syndicate, you have a GP who would go out, find the deals, put them together. And then you have all the LPs or the investors that will come in and say the general partner, they would go out and either manage the property themselves or appoint managers to manage that property. Everyone gets distribution of the income it generates. And 5 years down the line, we will sell it. Everyone gets paid out. For those investors in that syndicate, if they ever wanted to sell, what are their options? They either go back to the GP and said, hey, you know, something's happened. I need to sell my position. What can I do? There isn't a marketplace where they can list those shares for sale. Or they have to maybe find someone else within that same syndication who might want to buy it off them, whatever the case may be. But with Oasis, you're able to access a wider pool of investors who you can sell it to. So it's still the same marketplace dynamics where you need a buyer and a seller, but you don't have to necessarily sell to someone else within that particular deal. You have the whole platform of investors that you can sell to. So it works in exactly the same way, but with tokens, you can get additional utility. Instead of just having the shares, the tokens can give you access rights to the property, depending on how many tokens you hold. You can get, you know, maybe access to unique events for particular token holders, which you can't get with shares. It's all done on chain. So you can see, you can query the chain to see who's owned this tokens before me. You can see all the owners who owned it before you bought it off somebody, for example. You can see exactly what was paid for it. You have that transparency that you typically don't get with any other forms of investing in real estate.
That sounds amazing. Explain to me what the token is and how do I create a token system for a project that I'm fundraising for?
To create a token system for a project, you'd have to come to a platform like Oasis, or there's other platforms that, you know, you can use to tokenize your project. There's only one example at the moment which allows you to tokenize the actual property deed, to have real direct ownership of that actual property deed, and that's in Dubai, where they're piloting that with a tokenization platform. It'd be good to see that rolled out amongst other countries because it would just make it much cheaper. But traditionally, as syndicates operate, we create a company and those shares in that company are then tokenized. So let's say that company has 10,000 shares. We'd mint 10,000 tokens, one for each share. And so if you want to sell 10 tokens, those shares also move to that new owner. And that's how it operates. We use the tokens to interact with the actual shares, if that makes sense. Different tokens have different standards. Ours are based on Ethereum 1440. So what that helps us do is, as a security, we're able to already add in the smart contract holding periods. So because we register our tokens with the SEC under Reg D, there's a 1 year holding period, which means anyone can't sell that token within that 1 year period. After that, they can sell it to somebody else. So instead of creating some controls within the platform, we can create that control within the token itself. That means it cannot exchange hands until that 1 year period is up, for example, which gives a lot more security within the overall ecosystem. So that's typically how it works. There's other token standards, just depends on what platform you use.
And so what happens if you have multiple classes of membership units with different priorities? Like typically in an LLC, we have general partners with one type of membership units or class. Limited partners have different class of membership units. How is it differentiated when you tokenize it?
In this case, everyone's got the same standard. The only differentiator here is how many tokens you hold. The more tokens you hold within that particular deal, the more voting rights, the more power you would have over the decision-making of what happens within that particular property. We don't have different token classes at this stage. I think in the future that could evolve because you might have some stakeholders or investors who might want rates, for example. But fundamentally, how we operate is each token is equal to another token.
And so are all 100% of membership units or shares of the entity tokenized? Or can I just say I'm only going to tokenize the LP shares, but the GP shares are not on the token platform?
You could do that also. How we operate is we token 100% of the actual shares itself. And as a platform, we don't hold any of the shares. One day when we can get a broker data's license, then maybe we can start buying them off other investors, give them extra liquidity. At this stage, we just sell 100% of those actual tokens to investors.
Interesting. So let's bust the myth. What's one common misconception about tokenized real estate?
Great question. Misconception. It's not liquid. And I think people who have that argument, it's not like it's not founded in anything. It operates the same as all markets. And liquidity is enhanced with more users, in this case, more distribution of those tokens. As the industry evolves, more liquidity partners will come in place to enhance that. Are you familiar with NFTs and, you know, NFT marketplaces like OpenSea, for example? You know, you have to, it's peer-to-peer. So if you want to sell that particular token, someone on the other side has to want to buy it. Whereas typical exchanges or platforms that you use to buy cryptocurrencies already have that market maker in place to provide on-chain liquidity. Typically in tokenization projects, they don't have that in place yet. However, as it evolves, it's only a market mechanism that is easily done eventually. So that's one misconception. Another misconception is that it's not real ownership. When your name is on the deed itself, you can look up land registry and see your name and address, etc. That's direct, but then you have indirect ownership. So if you own any REITs, any stocks in the real estate investment trust, if you're part of any syndications or own any tokenized real estate, then that's indirect, i.e. you own the shares in the company that owns the actual real estate asset. And some people misconstrue that to say, you don't actually have real ownership in the actual property. But what does it mean to have real ownership in the property? Can you still control it? Can you still make decisions based on that? Yes. Do you still have rights to the profits it generates? Yes. Do you have rights to access the property? Yes. Do you have rights to buy and sell? Yes. So really, it's like owning stock. It's the same way. It's indirect ownership.
Okay, so what real estate developers want to know is, as they are fundraising for their projects, how can this platform help them in fundraising? What do they do differently compared to traditional syndication, where they go out and talk to all of their friends and family, then they start advertising on the internet, and then they talk to investment brokers who bring in maybe institutional investors? If I'm developing a new project and I'm in the beginning of my fundraising campaign, I love this concept. How will it help me fundraise, and what do I got to do?
Fundamentally, it still operate in the same way. If you use a launch pad or a tokenization platform that has active investors who are looking for, let's say, a multifamily unit of commercial real estate, or in my case, a luxury resort, you have investors who are looking for that particular investment, but it operates in the same way. You still have to go and reach out to investors. You still have to raise money from that. In the case of tokenization, just imagine having a platform where you could list your project, and depending on the fundamentals, people can do their own due diligence and deploy capital directly. As a developer, it would be faster. You can raise money faster than in any traditional way. However, if you're already, you know, a developer and you've got a black book of investors that, you know, typically invest in your deals, it might not give you the same benefits. You can go to your same black book and raise a finance that way.
So to compare it to a traditional approach, is there a number of active investors on your platform or other platforms that are actively looking for deals and reviewing deals versus just going out to the cold internet world and trying to solicit your deal to people you don't know?
Yes and no. As an industry in general, it's still early days. When you look at the grand scheme of real estate, you're talking $326 trillion, right? On a global scale. The last time I checked, around only $8 billion in tokenized real estate. So it's a drop in the ocean. It's still very niche and really targeted towards crypto native investors, people who have, you know, a lot of crypto and looking for ways to diversify their portfolio in real world assets. So today, yes, depending on how much you're looking to raise, you can raise money pretty quick with these platforms. But I think that would evolve, you know, over time. The more institutions get involved into tokenized real estate, it'll make it easier. The more distribution we have on platforms like Robinhood, Binance, Coinbase, etc., all these would enhance that liquidity, would enhance the ability to raise money for your projects much faster. But as it stands, it's still early days. So a lot of the work I do is still talking to investors, still talking to institutions to get them on board, to allocate capital. It's still the same process.
How much does it cost to get on a platform like this to start fundraising?
We don't charge our developers to list with us because we have to pre-vet the properties. Essentially, we have a brokerage agreement with them and then charge a success fee, a brokerage fee from successfully raising finance for them. there are platforms that you just wanted to raise money and you didn't want to go through creating the tokens and creating the whole platform. You just want to access this pool of investors, for example. I think between 30 and 50,000, you can actually bring your platform and tokenize it without having to manage the tokens. You can use it as a way just to raise finance. So I don't know whether it's really cost effective, depending on how much you're looking to raise. For the development partners that we have, we don't charge them anything.
Is there a minimum project size that you would consider working with?
It's on a minimum basis, just due to the cost of setting up an SPV, so actually doing the tokenization platform to then process tokenizing, etc. We really focus on a minimum of like $500,000 property. Usually in those cases, we tend to group properties together. So let's say it's a resort and they've got condos and villas, etc. We might pull a couple of those together and say, it's a great project. We'll take four properties and we'll tokenize four. And it might be, you know, $2 million fund, for example. But yeah, really, 500,000 is probably the lowest. Below that, the cost of doing it wouldn't make sense.
What about regulatory environment? Obviously, every country has their own regulatory climate. In the US, there's one process. In Europe, there's another process. How do you handle that?
That's the main challenge when it comes to this, because essentially, these are security, you know, and how we operate is at the moment, we only target accredited investors, which means they fall into an area where we can operate as a private cell. We still register our tokens with the SEC and we still, you know, would have to have a license where we actually tokenize the actual property itself, where we create the SPV and the actual tokens and distribute. But what that does, it allows us to access accredited investors on a global scale. There are some jurisdictions we wouldn't necessarily touch, but essentially that's the main barrier, because it's not on the real estate side of things. We're open to real estate on a global scale. Anywhere we can, you know, as long as we tokenize that property in a jurisdiction, that's fine. But in terms of investors, there are some barriers in terms of, you know, who can actually invest and where they're
from. So you have to do due diligence on the investors as well, where the money comes from. If somebody from North Korea wants to invest, you wouldn't be able to accept that money.
Exactly. Have to go through KYC, know your customer, still have to go through anti-money laundering checks. Although it's crypto, you can't avoid those things.
So you mentioned SEC. If your project and the sponsors are in Europe and you're fundraising there, what's the process? Would you have to register?
Under SEC, they do have what you call a Reg S, which allows you to solicit investors from others. You would still need to be able to sell in Europe. You would still have to be qualified and approved to sell securities in Europe. So at the moment, we focus on the US market as it's the most straightforward for what we're positioning ourselves to do. Eventually, we would open the doors to other jurisdictions eventually.
And then what about converting? So let's say there's an investor who owns a ton of Bitcoin and they're interested in this real estate deal. What is the process of getting that cash, whatever format it is, whatever currency it's at, and then converting it back to US dollars to finance the project?
So what we've built is a way that you can use your Bitcoin. You'd have to sell the Bitcoin for USDC or USDT to make that transaction. You can also use your normal credit or debit card to make the actual investment. What we're working on is something really cool, which would allow coin holders to leverage their Bitcoin to invest in tokenized real estate. Instead of having to sell their Bitcoin, which creates a taxable event, you can borrow on it. So let's say you can get, I don't know, 50% loan to value, you know, one Bitcoin, which today is, I don't know, $120,000. You can get $60,000 in stablecoin USDC, which you can then invest within our projects directly. You still own the Bitcoin, technically it's leveraged, but now you have tokenized real estate, which can produce passive income for you, which Bitcoin can't do. That's something we're working on. As it stands, you would have to liquidate crypto assets to make the transaction.
Early in our conversation, you mentioned secondary markets. It's easier to sell and trade tokens that represent real estate. How is the value determined?
This is where it gets interesting. It's like how you would look at stocks, right? Let's say it's Apple or Nvidia, for example. You have the company itself, and then you have its stocks that represents the company. And people make long or short-term investments based on whether that stock is undervalued or overvalued. That does it represent the true value of this company? With tokens or shares, it operates the same way. We have the underlying asset, which is the actual real estate. Let's say it's a $1 million villa. 5 years down the line, it's worth $1.5 million. The tokens should represent that base value as a holder. Why would I sell my token for anything less than its true value of that real estate? However, it still plays into supply and demand. So if you're, if there's more demand for these tokens than there are supply on the market, then the token itself could be priced higher than the actual underlying asset, and vice versa. If there's a lot of supply in the market and less demand, you may have to sell your token for less than the actual property is actually worth. But the underlying asset of the real estate, it's still the real value. But the token dynamics could affect the actual.
Is it fair to say that tokenized share of a real estate deal is more valuable than an equivalent paper membership units in an LLC? The reason I'm asking that is if I own some shares, membership units of an LLC, and I want to sell it, there's obviously no secondary market. So I'm going to have to either go back to the sponsor or find another investor that would want to buy it from me. And there's probably a discount that I would have to accept because there's no market. Is it fair to say that that discount almost gets eliminated in a tokenized system?
It does depend on supply and demand. However, there's value in liquidity. So when you have a more liquid marketplace, that does create more value in terms of, it reduces the risk. So, and that's priced into the actual, or it should be priced into the actual tokens. Some studies show tokenized real world assets or tokenized real estate, for example, does have a higher price than the actual asset itself because of liquidity. However, it's a bit too early to tell. In terms of market dynamics, the more liquid an asset is, the more value that it would have that would be priced into the actual tokens. So I do foresee a reality where the pre-sale, in terms of, so how we operate the pre-sale, you're buying the tokens at its acquisition cost. So whatever it costs to purchase that actual property is what you're buying your token value at. That is going to be, it's going to be far more valuable to getting at that stage to then trying to buy it in the secondary marketplace where there's a lot more things that are priced into that token than the actual acquisition cost. So I do see that. I do foresee that as, being commonplace, but in my opinion, it's a bit early to tell.
So I think I already know the answer. What's your call to it?
So if you go to my LinkedIn, if you go on the website, oasisglobal.io, you can see our marketplace listings, what properties we have available or what's coming soon. You can sign up, and what will pop up is a video and a scorecard. What this will allow you to do is it will take you 2 minutes to go through, but it will give you a score at the end, which will determine how ready are you for tokenized real estate. It mainly bases this assessment off your experience in real estate, so your understanding of real estate investment and your understanding of crypto investment. The higher scorers were people who have experience in crypto investing, they already own crypto and already own real estate. If you've got those two experiences, then you're primed and ready to start diversifying with tokenized real estate. If you don't have that experience in crypto, that's fine. And you still want to sign up, our team can actually help you on board, help you create a wallet to hold the token and go through the actual process with you. It might only take you 15 minutes. If you get a low score, we have a YouTube series that can help you prepare and get a better understanding of where the future is going with real estate or even assets in general.
And for sponsors or developers, commercial real estate sponsors, are you still reviewing new deals? Are you accepting new partners, new projects?
A lot of our projects are pre-construction. So they're currently being developed, which is good in one sense and bad in the other. If you already have, let's say a boutique hotel, let's say you have a resort that you own and you're looking to gain some liquidity, you want to sell it, please reach out. Luxury resorts, commercial property, multifamily, low income housing, whatever real estate you have and you're looking to tokenize, reach out to me anyway. I'm connected with other ecosystems that I can give introductions to. I can at least point you in the right direction if that's something you're looking to do. In terms of the ecosystem in general, it's been estimated that tokenized real world assets would hit 19 trillion by 2030. At the moment, we're just over 3 trillion in general in crypto. The way people expect it to happen is that the tokenization of real assets on chain is going to really eclipse cryptocurrencies in general, So if you want to get ahead of this curve, get access to this extra liquidity that's here, especially now that we're in a bull run and there's a lot of activity happening, I think now's a perfect time to get involved or at least start exploring.
Excellent. Ricardo, thank you very much. That was amazing. I learned a ton. I hope the listeners did too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.